Well, welcome, dear ones, to our Friday evening church service, Sabbath morning church service, to those on the other side of the world. Glad to be in fellowship with you once again, including those that are joining us on the phone or listening to the recording. Praise God for his merciful kindness and tender love. Praise his holy name for bringing us safely through another week to another Sabbath gathering. And what a joy it is to come apart from the perplexities of this past week and to rest in the Lord and have sweet fellowship one with another in Christ Jesus. So welcome, dear ones. This has been another week of turmoil with the Light Ministry site, but well, I'll give you a little more history than that. Tried to get the Light Ministry site back up line. The hosting company will not do it, and they will not fix the repair for some reason. They haven't told me that, but it's still not repaired. So then I went to the registrar that has the domain lightministry.com. And tried to change the name server that points individuals that put lightministry.com on their web browser to point them to a different hosting company that the Lord led us to. And my registrant for the name, a registrar for the name, would not change it. There was a problem with their system as well. So it's not just a problem with the hosting company. It's now a problem with the registrar company. So I communicated with them. And the tech that I talked to is like a middleman. He's not the actual tech that does all the changes in the back room. But he said, I see the problem that you're talking about. I can't do anything here about it. But I put an urgent request on the ticket for them to look into and solve. And that was on Tuesday. This morning it still wasn't solved. But the Lord impressed me to use a different ministry name instead of Light Ministry. Let there be Light Ministries. I have that domain. So I was able to point that domain to the new hosting service that the Lord led us to. And that's in the process of being put up onto the web through their hosting service. But just before, well, about 3 o'clock this afternoon, so 3 hours before the meeting here, I checked with our registrar for lightministries.com and they had fixed the problem. Praise the Lord. So I was able to change the name server from where it was going to the host that won't put it on the web to the new host. But it takes 24 to 48 hours for that change to propagate through the whole World Wide Web. So that means there's big progress, praise the Lord. It is a lesson in patience. And you can see I still have my hair, so I haven't allowed frustration to get the better of me. And it's a learning experience how to rest in the Lord. Lord, I've done everything I can. I can't do anything more. It's not gonna accomplish anything to worry about it, but I know you can do all things. You know how to correct the problem. And I'm leaving this burden with you. It's your website. You know, if you want it up, then please put it on the web. If you want to leave it down for whatever reason, then, you know, that's fine. Give me grace. Give me patience. So there is the end of the tunnel being seen. And Lord willing, our new hosting company will, or service, will be able to work out any bugs so that lightministries.com will be back online, hopefully beginning Sunday. But if not, Lord willing, before next Sabbath. Yes, brother.
I just got a text from Terry Wellum, if you remember him. He says, moralhost.com is a great Christian hosting company. https://moralhost.com. Have you heard about them or checked them out?
I have heard about them, but I haven't checked them out yet.
Okay.
That may be a hosting company to go with if our new hosting company can't figure out how to get the website online. So it's been... Yeah, go ahead, brother.
Terry is good at webmastering, he says, building websites, and so he might be some aid to you there.
Well, thank you. I'll definitely keep him in mind. It's sort of been a two-step process. One is you have to change the name server so that when someone clicks on the link, it takes them to where that name server computer resides. Server resides. And then once they get to the server, there needs to be what's called the A record, where it sends them precisely to the files that are on your server, on that server, so that it pops up on the web for people to see. So it's a two-step process. My registrar for lightministry.com was not able to change the name server. They had some problem. They just fixed that. And I noticed that I was able to see the A record, but I wasn't able to access the A record to change it. So with the non-functioning web host, I'm not able to change anything. I can't even access the control panel. I can only access the panel.
Well, with things happening at the speed of light, it's hard to catch up.
Yeah. Yep. So I am able to access how to upload and change files and so on with lightministry.com at the non-functioning hosting company. But I can't get it to show on the web. And it's been since June 15 that they haven't been able to get it to show on the web. So here we are 36 days with them unable to figure out the problem or unwilling to figure the problem or make the corrections to solve the problem. And so the Lord led us to a different hosting service, and Lord willing, they'll be able to solve the problem, and then I can cancel my service with the non-working hosting company. In the meantime, if lightministry.com can't come up on the web, I have a backup website, lettherebelightministries.com. So it's a longer name, but it's still connected with the ministry. And so that's sort of a backup plan. If Light Ministry can't get online for whatever reason, then Let There Be Light Ministry can get online. And I'll just have to change the links in the Light Ministry website to Let There Be Light Ministry website. And then I have to find a way to direct every individual that clicks on lightministries.com to automatically be directed to lettherebelightministries.com. So we have a plan B and a plan C that we can fall on and hopefully get one of the two to work in this next week. So we appreciate your prayers. Also, the emails are still not working, so we'll get new ones once lightministries.com or lettherebelightministries.com is live on the web. Then I'll be able to get those emails connected with those domains. In the meantime, for those that were not here last week, I do have a contact email that works. It's ltblmin@outlook.com. So let me put it here in the room. So ltblmin@outlook.com. So praise God for bringing us to another week, another Sabbath, safely through another week, so that we can indeed rest in His love, knowing that He has everything in His hands. Everything is under His control. Don't have to worry about anything. Amen. Praise Him indeed. Our opening song is Redeemed. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through His infinite mercy. His child and forever I am. Redeemed, redeemed. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed. His child and forever I am.
Redeemed and so happy in Jesus. No language my rapture can tell. I know that the light of His presence with me doth continually dwell. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, His child forever I am.
I think of my blessed Redeemer. I think of Him all the day long. I sing, for I cannot be silent. His love is the theme of my song. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed. Redeemed, His child and forever I am.
I know there's a crown that is waiting in yonder bright mansion for me. And soon with the saints made perfect, at home with the Lord I shall dwell. Redeemed, 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 redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, His child and forever I am.
Amen. And isn't that a comforting thought? His child forever I am. No disowning there. We're forever His child if we cling to Him now and forever. It starts here in this wicked world, but it ends in a never-ending righteous world.
I'm thinking what it's Oh, I'm thinking what life is like to be a child. When you're a child and you're in a happy family, everything is happiness and joy and peace. You can sleep at night. What a wonderful promise.
Amen. Amen. And, you know, sometimes you see babies when they sleep, their hands are up like this or maybe above their head. That's a sign of being at perfect peace and feeling completely safe. If their arms are like around them or down, it's not so much a feeling of perfect peace. They may be content, but they may also be troubled. So when we are at perfect peace, there's no need to defend yourself. There's no need to worry about the future. You leave all of that into the hands of your loving parents. So just like a child, resting in the Lord, being content at perfect peace in His love for you. And thank you, Savior, for making it possible. It's now time for opening prayer. And who would like to offer that?
Precious Father in heaven, thank you so much for another Sabbath on this planet, a piece of heaven to complete the week, to show us the sign of sanctification, of creation and redemption, and especially recreation through the redemptive plan through Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit. Thank you for blessing Sister Joan to gain her voice back. And we look forward to hearing much more on her singing and others, as well as Sister Lynn and Ma and others, and the involvement that we can take advantage of while we've got the Zoom, which is a huge help to all of us, and communicating thoughts, prayers, requests, testimonies, songs, and especially what we're obviously going to be partaking, we pray, with you being present, the reading from Prophets and Kings, that we might come away with a wealth of saving truths to apply in our lives deeper, to remove and allow any obstacles from applying them in our lives and in anyone else's lives that we may have put it in, directly or indirectly, so that the light from the heavenly sanctuary reflects out in our own lives, and people can know for certain that we, by the grace of God, are becoming changed people in the image of Jesus instead of the image of someone else. Thank you for allowing dear Brother Bob to have the grace to cope with the trying circumstances. He was not informed he'd be waiting 36 days before he'd get this far. And we usually aren't told how long a problem, an issue that arises, is going to exist. So thank you for giving him the strength to keep looking up, to impart grace to cope and to have patience. And may the people on the other end who you've designated to allow things to take place just at the right time, that this, you know, time off the web, it does not affect your cause to the detriment of even one soul, because time is so short. And we would see it up and running better than ever, and advancing and triumphing with the truth as it is in Jesus. I also uphold free literature multimedia, being able to thanking you that a lot of dear Brother Bob's materials are on there available, which is a great slight backup. And I'm so glad Brother Bob has backup ready in case things don't work out with this current option that's been taken up. So much needed. We want to have more presence online, Jesus. We don't want to give our means and our efforts to causes that are going to give the ranks of the enemy greater power. And we thank you for making it possible, because you are winning. You are winning. And if you're winning in our lives, we are winning. And the more we see the light of the glory of the gospel extending, the more Satan is worried and fearful that his end is just about up. His time has come. Thank you that we're dealing with a defeated foe. Help us live that out like we believe it, increasing in knowledge and understanding for the saving of our souls and the saving of all those about us. Bless dear Brother Bob as he leads in our Prophets and Kings reading. And thank you for being present, Jesus, Holy Spirit, and the heavenly angels who love to do thy bidding. We want to be like them, have the same spirit that leads them to do, think, act. And thank you for making this possible. And a PS to the prayer, and that is, please help the websites on my own end be able to be edited without the interruptions that are appearing, so that I can start running it for my on my own end without the help of a graphic designer. And thank you so much for God sends like Ivan, like precious certain events that have happened just this week, let alone in the years that have gone by, including my dear mum's memorial. Thanking you for giving us the power of memories to use to advance your cause. In Jesus we thank and pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. A happy Sabbath, dear Sister Lucy. Big hugs to you and Brother James. And to all here. We are continuing in Prophets and Kings, chapter 14, dealing with prophets of the Northern Kingdom, starting out with Elijah the Tishbite. And chapter 14 is subtitled, In the Spirit and Power of Elijah, or of Elias, or Elijah. And last time we got down about halfway on page 186 to the paragraph, So Long Have Men Worshipped Human Opinions. And the last thing that we were in discussion about was the issue of the Sabbath. Back in Elijah's day, the majority were worshiping Baal. Baal's day is Sunday, not Saturday. But there were some, and God said 7,000, that had not bowed the knee to Baal. In other words, they weren't worshiping on Baal's day. They were still worshiping the God of heaven on his Sabbath day. And the same thing was taking place in the days of Nehemiah. There were Sabbath keepers that were doing business with Sunday keepers on the Sabbath, or pagans or merchants that didn't profess any kind of deity. And so Nehemiah, as a Sabbath reformer, stopped business from taking place within the city. So then what these merchants did was they camped outside the city and waited for the gates to open. And then anyone that came outside the city, they would be confronted with all of this sale of merchandise on the Sabbath. So Nehemiah put a stop to them camping outside the city. I'm sure his jurisdiction only went so far outside the city walls, but the merchants had to go beyond Nehemiah's jurisdiction. And so if any of the Sabbath keepers who wanted to keep the Sabbath went outside the city walls, then they would want to avoid where all the merchants were. And if one of the Sabbath keepers were in the midst of all the merchants, then that showed they had a desire to break God's Sabbath because of their association with those merchants.
But they couldn't buy a bunch of stuff and bring it back into the city because that'd be breaking the Sabbath.
Yeah, that's true. So they'd have to go and bury it somewhere or put it somewhere else or wait till after the Sabbath was over. And then Ellen White brought it down to her day, in which the majority of Christianity is worshiping on Sunday, Baal's Day. And so here again, we have the Sabbath of God being put down and the day of Lucifer being exalted. And so here we are some 116 years after Ellen White had penned the words, or her words were put into Prophets and Kings. And Sunday exaltation is even more now than it was 100 years ago. And so there's going to be more and more legislation that will exalt Sunday and will put down any other day of the week, especially the Sabbath. And soon it's going to be made illegal for anyone to worship on the Sabbath, declaring that they have to worship on the day of the sun or Sunday. And there's going to be fines, there's going to be penalties, there's going to be confiscation of property, there's going to be loss of freedom, there's going to be loss of life, all in an ever-increasing scale of legislation and punishment, until if you remain a Sabbath keeper, you will be targeted for removal off of this earth. And at the last moment before that legislation occurs, or the 144,000 or some of them are put to death, God will deliver his people. Praise God for that. So that's where we left off, and now we're going to pick it up at this new paragraph. So long have men worshipped human opinions and human institutions that almost the whole world is following their idols. And he who has endeavored to change God's law is using every deceptive artifice to induce men and women to array themselves against God and against the sign by which the righteous are known. But the Lord will not always suffer his law to be broken and despised with impunity. There is a time coming when the lofty looks of man shall be humbled, and the haughtiness of men shall be bowed down, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. Isaiah 2, verse 11. Skepticism may treat the claims of God's law with jest, scoffing, and denial. The spirit of worldliness may contaminate the many and control the few. The cause of God may hold its ground only by great exertion and continual sacrifice. Yet in the end, the truth will triumph gloriously. Praise God for that. Are there any thoughts or comments or questions, Sterling?
Yeah, that last sentence, that's significant. You can know the truth, you can understand, you can be a scholar about it, but unless great exertion and continual sacrifice is manifested, you won't triumph gloriously with it.
Amen. Amen. Notice that it's not just by exertion, great exertion, but it's by sacrifice as well. And it's not just by sacrifice, but it's also connected with great exertion. So there's effort put forth as well as sacrifice that allows you to hold on to the truth till it triumphs. Amen. There's a balance. A great point. Any other comments or thoughts, dear ones?
You see this kind of end of the world on the news, on social comments, on the internet. It seems like bad language is used an awful lot. I don't know why. I guess they're trying to identify some kind of a loyalty by using bad language. But it hurts the ears of the righteous to hear God's name taken in vain and to show so little respect for him, even though they claim to be churchgoers and believe in God. How can you do that and still take his name in vain?
Amen. Amen. And there's another sentence here. It says, skepticism may treat the claims of God's law with jest, scoffing, and denial. And you look at the whole law of God, and even the skeptic likes people not stealing from them, lying to them, you know, committing adultery, their wife, et cetera, et cetera. And yet you see this skepticism. You see it everywhere. There's this lack of, but who really does that? Or, you know, even look like they're doubting themselves if they're really honest and trusting. But that's interesting. She doesn't just talk about the Sabbath there. She says the God's law.
Amen. So we see things are much worse now than they were 100 years ago when these words were penned. And it's only going to get more worse. And who would like to read the last or the next paragraph in this chapter?
In the closing work of God in the earth, the standard of his law will be again exalted. False religion may prevail, iniquity may abound, the love of many may wax cold, the cross of Calvary may be lost sight of, and darkness, like the pall of death, may spread over the world. The whole force of the popular current may be turned against the truth. Plot after plot may be formed to overthrow the people of God. But in the hour of greatest peril, the God of Elijah will raise up human instrumentalities to bear a message that will not be silenced. In the populous cities of the land and in the places where men have gone to the greatest lengths in speaking against the Most High, the voice of stern rebuke will be heard. Boldly will men of God's appointment denounce the union of the church with the world. Earnestly will they call upon men and women to turn from observance of a man-made institution to the observance of the true Sabbath. Fear God and give glory to Him. They will proclaim to every nation, for the hour of His judgment is come, and worship Him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. If any man worship the beast in his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. From Revelation 14, 7 through 10. Amen.
Amen. So God has his 7,000. He has his witnesses in the earth that will reveal to individuals God's law, that will uphold the seventh day Sabbath and point individuals to the fact that they have been worshiping a false god, believing that it was the true God, because they worshiped on the day of the false god instead of the day of the true God. Will you be one of those instrumentalities that God will raise up and bear that message that will not be silenced? I pray so. Now, just the fact that it will not be silenced shows that there will be efforts to silence it. So if God has awoken a teenager to the truth of the Sabbath, and they start witnessing to all their family members, and then their parents will not follow the message, they reject it. And then they threaten the teenager. If you continue to preach this Sabbath message, we're going to disown you. We're going to kick you out of the house. That's an effort to silence the message, isn't it? What will that teenager do? Will they find a home with the grandparents or with friends or with others? Or will they say, okay, but when I turn 18 or when I become an adult at 21, then I'm going to preach the message? What will they do? What will you do if your boss at work says, we're changing our policy and now you're going to have to work 6 days a week? Or we're changing your work schedule and one of the days you're going to work is now Saturday. So your schedule, instead of being Monday through Friday, is now Tuesday through Saturday. Are you going to stand up for the Sabbath, or are you going to allow your example to speak against the Sabbath? So there will be efforts to silence all Sabbath keepers. Amen. By God's grace, stand for God. Stand for the truth. Those who are willing to not speak forth the truth because it's going to bring consequences, show that they love their peace more than they love the truth. When Christ brought the truth that he was the Messiah, that was like a sword. That sword cut individuals who denied that he was the Messiah. So in preaching the truth, it brought turmoil. It brought consequences. It's the same today. But we don't have to fear the consequences, because we have a God who has 1,000 different ways to work for your deliverance, to silence the accusers, to protect you from harm, unnecessary harm, and to deliver you from all kinds of problems. So your trust is not what is not in what you can do to solve the issue. It's in God allowing him to work to solve the issue. He's raised you as his witnesses. So witness for him. Witness for the truth. And then let God take care of any consequences that may come. Don't be silenced. Are there any comments, questions, thoughts, dear ones?
When I was an employee of Dairy Fresh, which my job description was an egg candler. This is when I was first starting out in the job market. We had to join a union in order to be employees at Dairy Fresh. And we were required by the union to go to union meetings. And I went to this one union meeting, and, well, it sounds like my voice has gone bye-bye. Anyway, the union prided itself on speaking out for the employees against the company. And that's why the union existed, so they said. But they were throwing out the laws that are putting them to our mind that Saturday was going to be a regular work day, not a weekend day, not a day to take off, but a regular work day. And if you were scheduled to work on that day, that's too bad. That's your regular work day. And it was going to be like a sliding thing. Each week you would just kind of follow some kind of a law that rotated all the days. So you always would have to work on Saturday in some kind of the rotation. So I was very shy in those days, but I spoke up and I said, I thought the union was supposed to bring forth the desires and of the employees. And I said, in my case, I go to church on Saturday. I said, the union is not working for me here, nor is it protecting me. And, you know, we never did have to go into that rotation of working on Saturday as a regular day. God intervened and the work was kept to the usual days, Monday through Friday. And that's when you worked in my division.
Praise the Lord for the grace and strength to speak up and then for God working it out where you didn't have to work on the Sabbath or lose your job. Praise God indeed.
Amen. That's encouraging, isn't it? You mentioned the 7,000, bro. I just had an SDA. What did he say? Oh, that's right. Brother Chris Moffat, the man that I sold health encyclopedias to, cost price. He took the Abomination of Desolation in church history, and he responded. He said, "Well, brother, even though I know there's so much apostasy around and I can hardly bear listening to the preaching of the current pastor. This is how he's talking, right? He said, there's still 7,000. And so there's still 7,000 in the midst. And, you know, and I suppose every church would say that if they have that sense of, you know, apostasy that they sense is all about them. And I said something like, did you know that there were 7,000 in Jesus's time? And do you know what they did? They separated from the apostasy. I don't know how he's going to react, but I said in fulfillment of Daniel 9, and I think that one of the things he's trying to explain, and I wonder if you would all agree with this, that if our church saves instead of Jesus, naturally we're scared to leave because we're lost if we leave the church. And so we're never going to leave it. It doesn't matter what happens. And I brought out, I said to him about Babylon Fallen and Protestantism and the great disappointment, and 50 out of 50,000 continue to be faithful. And I mentioned, did you know there was another predicted separation movement, Revelation 12, verse 17, with chapter 18. And I'd love to know how he goes about this, but if he gets back to me. But he, you know what I found amazing about what he said was, he said, I don't have much time to read, and I don't think I should read a book like The Abomination of Desolation in Church History because it's an uninspired commentary. And I said, I'm amazed, I'm sad to read that you know that this Bible, spirit of prophecy-based historical documented book is not true without having read it. He says, very big. And I thought, well, it's in audio too, but he said it's very big, but he just didn't, he seems so open, like he's wanting to avoid commentaries, but I did say to him, have a bias towards the truth. We all had biases. You know how people say that? Yeah. We'll have a bias towards the truth. So if you don't have it, ask for God to help you have it, because you've got to be able to have it. Otherwise, you'll never come to the truth. And I mentioned that. And don't even follow SDAs or non-SDAs. Absolutely. To the law and the testimony of God's Holy Spirit. And then I asked him, if you're right, can you show me where a once chosen church is always a chosen church? And how it's possible in remaining in an apostate church you know is in apostasy can possibly give the whole everlasting gospel, which includes the four angels' messages. So I hope he comes back with it. But you just made me think of that, bro, that 7,000 statement. It's a regularly used statement. And praise God, the faithful will separate because they are faithful.
Yeah, amen, amen. You also hear, well, the wheat and tares are to grow together until the harvest. So no one is to separate because you're supposed to grow together. So yes, there's bad people in the church. Yes, there's false professors of Adventism in the church or Catholicism or whatever church may be, because they all say there's wheat and tares. And yes, the church is in apostasy, but the wheat and tares are to grow together. So good and bad are to grow together until the harvest, and that's when Jesus comes. So no one is to separate forever. But when you start to, or when you're able to lead them to begin to examine when the harvest takes place, there is the great final harvest when Christ comes and the angels will take the redeemed off the earth. But there's a harvest in regards to the truth. When Christ there, with the woman at the well, I think it's John 4, when that woman of Samaria came to Christ, and Christ revealed to her the truth, and she ran back to the town, leaving her water pot there. And she told everyone in the town, she's met the Messiah, come see him. And that this crowd, the Bible says, the whole towns, but, you know, the majority of the townsfolk came to the well. the disciples had returned in the meantime, and they had food for Christ to eat. And he goes, I've already eaten. I said, well, what did you eat? He said, I've had food. You know, my food is to do the will of God. But he pointed to this townsfolk, this mass of people coming to him. And he says, don't say that the harvest is yet in the future, because it's right now. And that was in regards to the truth that centered in Christ Jesus. That brought about a harvest. So we see that there's a harvest before Christ comes that's based upon the truth that centers in Jesus. Those who reject the truth are obviously harvested out, and they're going to be destroyed when Christ comes. Those who receive the truth are going to be harvested out, and they will be followers of the Lamb. They will be those that are joining the bridegroom and the bride and the procession, leaving the foolish behind. So there's a harvest that comes in relationship to the truth now that separates people from Babylon, from error, and brings them to Jesus. And the other side of that harvest is individuals who refuse to leave Babylon, who refuse to give up their error, and who don't join Christ and his bride and the others in the procession, including the wise virgins, who don't join them until after the door has closed. So there's wheat and tares in every church, but it's truth that separates the wise from the foolish, the good from the bad, the wheat from the tares. And that's what a lot of individuals don't recognize or don't want to admit, is that there is a separation of the wheat and the tares before Christ comes. There was a great quote put in the room from Ministry of Healing, page 481. Our Heavenly Father has 1,000 ways to provide for us of which we know nothing. Those who accept the one principle of making the service of God supreme will find perplexities vanish and a plain path before their feet. Amen. Fantastic quote. Again, that's from Ministry of Healing, page 481. Thank you, dear sister. Yeah, amen. The harvest message. The loud cry, come out of her, my people. That's separation. And joining the Savior, the bridegroom. Amen. And who would like to read the next paragraph?
Go ahead, baby. God will not break his covenant, nor alter the thing that has gone out of his world.
Word.
Will stand last forever. Huh?
No, go ahead.
Word. Word will stand fast forever, as unalterable as his throne. Although the judgment his covenant has brought forth, plenty within the finger of God, and the world will be arranged before the bar of infinite justice to receive silence.
Sentence.
Today, as in the days of Elijah. No,
just today. Huh? Just to write. To receive. Come. Okay.
Thank you, dear Sister Dot. So God's not going to break his covenant. He's not going to alter it to meet the majority who believe Sunday is the Sabbath. Not one jot or tittle shall be changed in God's law. So that means we have to come up to the standard of God's law, because God's not going to lower the standard of his law to meet us in our fallen estate. And the only way to come up to the standard of God's law is through God's divine grace, strength, and power. We're in a fallen condition, which means we're flat on our back. There's no way we can stand up in our own strength. There's no way we can come up to the standard of God's law. So we have to look away from ourselves to God, who does have the grace and the strength. He does have the divine power to give us and aid us to be able to stand from a fallen position and keep his law. Well, Sabbath blessings, dear sister. I'm glad you were able to come into the room. Yes, the website is still down. And thank you, dear sister Lynn, for sending dear sister Susan the link to get in the room. Appreciate that very much. Lord willing, next Sabbath, the site will be up. But that's in God's hands. So this law that God will not change, he will not lower, he will not alter, is the standard that decides between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve God and those who serve him not. And it will be this standard of God's law that everyone will be judged by and then receive sentence. Thank you, Jesus, for making a way of escape that we may avoid being condemned in the judgment and instead be able to stand by your side and receive pardon through your precious blood, merits, and righteousness. And who would like to read the next paragraph?
Today, as in the days of Elijah, the line of demarcation between God's commandment-keeping people and the worshippers of false gods is clearly drawn. How long halt ye between two opinions? Elijah cried. If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. 1 Kings 18, verse 21. And the message for today is, Babylon the Great is fallen. Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Revelation 18, 2, 4, and 5.
Amen. Thank you.
Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, dear sister. So today, just like it was in Elijah's day, if the Lord be God, follow him, but if Baal, follow him. In other words, if God's Sabbath is on Saturday, then keep it holy to him. But if you choose to worship on Sunday, Baal's day, then follow him. So which of these two are you going to choose to follow? The Lord God of heaven, then you'll keep his seventh-day Sabbath. Or Baal, which is Lucifer, then you'll keep Sunday. And notice here, yeah, amen, the demarcation line. Notice here that it says the message for what? For today. It doesn't say the message after the Sunday law is passed. It doesn't say the message after judgments fall on the earth. It doesn't say the message when the Adventist church totally gives up Saturday and worships only on Sunday. It says the message for today, and this was published in 1915. So the message for 1915 and every year beyond that, including today, is the loud cry. But the devil has so many people believing that you can't give the loud cry until the Sunday law comes. But there was no Sunday law in 1915. And yet, God said the message for that time is the loud cry. So the message for today, 2023, is the loud cry. And there is no Sunday law yet. So how many people are giving the loud cry? Very, very few. How many people are preaching Christ's righteousness? Quite a few. Is that the message for today? Part of it, but it's the loud cry that joins the third angel, which is Christ's righteousness. So the message for today is the loud cry that will join, it will connect itself with the message of the third angel of Christ's righteousness, and that will glorify the Lord and bring the end to this great controversy. The longer the devil can keep the loud cry from being given, the longer he has to cause the loss of precious souls. I've had ministers tell me, well, God hasn't given me the fourth angel's message. He may have given you the fourth angel's message, but he's given me the third angel's message. So I'm going to preach Christ and his righteousness. I'm not going to preach, come out of her, my people, because God hasn't given me that message. But here we see that God has given them that message, because inspiration states the message for today is the loud cry. So here we are, 118 years beyond 1915. And why are we still here? Because there hasn't been enough people to preach the message for today, which is, come out of the fallen church or you're going to be destroyed with her. Yeah, that's true. They're preaching, go into Babylon or stay in Babylon, my people, instead of come out of her, my people. So if the devil can get you to preach Christ and his righteousness, but leave the people within apostasy, who wins? The devil does. Because how long can clean water associate with dirty water and remain clean? Try it. Have a glass of crystal clear water and drop in a drop of dirt, two drops of dirt. Change it to black dye, all right? Drop in, drop by drop. How long does that clean water remain clean? Not very long. So if righteousness is forced to associate with apostasy, righteousness will cease to be righteous. Just as that clean water will cease to be clean. That's why God has the fourth angel to tell the righteous to leave the company of the apostate so that they won't be destroyed with her. Amen. Comment in the room says it's impossible to keep clean water which has been contaminated. It's impossible to keep it clean. That's true. Christ says, can figs come out of thorn bushes? No, because thorns produce thorns. Can grapes come from thistles? No, because thistles produce more thistles. So there's no possible way that apostasy can produce anything more than apostates. But yet the devil has individuals believing that God will protect their righteousness, their purity, while they knowingly associate with the impure. But it's impossible. Are there any other thoughts or comments or questions, dear ones?
I was thinking of past experiences, and what you get from thorns is puncture wounds.
Very true. And who created those plants to act the way they do?
The devil can change. He can't create, but he can change things around so it does exactly the opposite of what God wanted.
Yeah. Yeah, amen. A comment says you can't dance with the devil and hold hands with Jesus. That's true. That's true. So the principle of thorns that God has not altered is that it will hurt you, it will poke you, it will stick you, but it never can become good. It's always going to function the way it is. The only way to turn a tear is to have it converted. Because tears will produce more tears. The only way to have a tear act different is if it no longer is a tear. It has become converted, in other words. So in order for you to avoid being destroyed is for you to be a new person, born again, a child of God when you once were a child of the wicked one. So if you've been converted, amen, it is miraculous. It's a miracle of God. If you've been converted, but you continue to knowingly and willingly associate with the unconverted, what's going to happen to your conversion? It's going to become affected. It's going to become negatively affected, and soon you will compromise with the ungodly and join in with the ungodly. And then your conversion has been made of none effect. The devil has been working on that plan of corruption for thousands of years. Lot believed for the sake of advantage that it would be safe for him to leave the country and dwell in the city. Just for a little while until he made enough money, and then he'd leave the city back out to the country. But he ended up having children that got married there. So now he has family members in the city, and his plans changed. He became comfortable in the city. He was daily affected with the evil of the city, and yet he still chose to stay there. And that effect of the city atmosphere compromised the faith of his wife. It compromised the faith of his two unmarried daughters. It compromised the faith of his married children. And it caused the loss of most of his family. So you can be as righteous as Christ is, but if you knowingly choose to dwell with the corrupt, then your righteousness will become corrupted. No way to prevent it, unless God leads you to go and witness, to go and try and fish. Then you'll be protected because you're following the command of God. He will protect you. But that's not where you are to permanently live or dwell in, because of the corruption there. Any other thoughts or comments, dear ones?
I was thinking of a statement made back a few lines ago about wicked will suffer the wine. They have to drink the wine of the wrath of God poured out without mixture. And it caused me to think about how wine is made. They take a grape, some grapes, and they mix them with some type of sugar. They put them inside of a barrel that has no access with air. The insides of the barrel have been charred, and it's usually of a certain kind of wood. And the grape juice ferments. But then when they take it out of that barrel, they mix it with something else to make it taste sweet. Now, if God's wrath is poured out and it's not mixed with anything sweet, it's going to be horrible. Who would want to play around with being in a place where the wine of his wrath is poured out?
That's not in a position I would want to be in. So the message for today is, come out of her, my people. And that message of the fourth angel joins the third angel and harvests God's people out of all the fallen churches directly to Jesus Christ outside. And then they follow the Lamb whithersoever he goes. They join the bridegroom and the bride in the procession. Well, I think we'll go ahead and stop there. And next time we'll pick it up at the paragraph that starts out, the time is not far distant. So here we have the message for today come out of her. And then Ellen White says the time is not far distant. So in a short time after the message is given, we'll find out more about what comes afterwards. And that is about halfway down on page 188. Are there any other thoughts or comments, questions, testimonies, anything else that you'd like to share, dear ones? Please go ahead.
Yes, I have something to share that happened to me this week. I was going outside and I noticed that there was a little bird on the ground. He was kind of like this, and he had his head, like, you know, tucked under his wings. And I said, "Oh," and I went down and I told him that he was going to be okay. And then he lifted his head up. And then I put my finger under his where his chest was, and he hopped on my finger. And he just kind of stayed there. And Sister Joan was sitting in her chair. So I tapped on the window and I showed her the little bird, and she got a smile on her face. And then I went down over to, we have some benches over here. And I was telling the little bird, "He's going to be okay. You're going to be okay." And then I sat down on the bench and I put him on my leg. And he just sat there, and his little head was kind of going like this. And I was singing to him. Kind of like a humming a song. And he just looked at me. And so then I put him down on the ground where the bird seed was. And he stayed there for a couple minutes. And then he looked at me. I said, "You're okay. You're okay." And then he flew off. And I thought that was so cool to be able to do that, to help this little bird out. And I thank, you know, the Lord that he was okay. Because sometimes when the birds hit the windows, they don't make it. And which is sad. But I just wanted to share that with you all. So.
And the song you were singing, Sister Michelle?
I was just kind of humming, I guess, "Jesus Loves You."
That's what you told me, you were singing "Jesus Loves Me" to the little bird.
Yep, that's the song I was humming to him and singing.
Oh, what an experience. Mom has picture windows there that look out, sliding glass windows that look out towards kind of an overhang that she has a lot of bird seed and hummingbird things, and even grape jelly for the orioles that come by. And sometimes the birds, when they're flying from a low position to a higher position, the window reflects the tree and the shelter that's there, and they don't recognize that it's a reflection. So they fly into it thinking it's just another way to get out. But that's such an awesome experience. I don't think I've ever had a bird that has been somewhat stunned jump on my finger and let me walk it around and sing to it, you know. That's marvelous.
Yes, good morning and good morning. Hope you can hear me. Hugs to you all. God is good, that is doing well with many of us and with our Zoom meeting. I just wanted to update you over how things are going on, and I believe he's leading us the right direction. It's now a year when I encourage those people in Nairobi to have it opened, and little did we know that he could continue up to today. And my biggest task was, Joel, can you, when we don't have speakers, find us speakers? And I've been in contact with them for all this time, and when no speaker, I send names of people to speak. And today, which is yesterday, Kenneth Israel was speaking. And, you know, Nairobi has challenges, and the organizers are within the center of Nairobi, and there are many riots, and the people are being tear gassed. So they could not move out of their premises in the houses. So the text, Joel, can we have a speaker? Then I said, okay. I called on Kenneth Israel to come online and speak and organize even a topic. So when you have to speak, you send a topic early enough so that they post and send it to everybody who participates. So Kenneth sent today morning and I posted it. So Brother Jared, who was inside the house, sent. And then I'm busy trying to contact our people who can speak, who are not busy, to come and speak once in a while. It's our evening always, Friday evening and Wednesday evenings. And for you people who are in the Pacific time, is around the 10 a.m. to 11. Then those who are in the Central time is around the midday, 1 to 2 p.m. of your time. So I only request that if there be anybody who can save some time, sacrifice some time when he's free, and he has a lesson to teach our people, well and good, you are welcome. The only challenge is that the person who opened the Zoom is from Nairobi, but in most cases in Kigali, Rwanda, is a teacher. And as today, Kenneth, as he was teaching, then hackers entered in and disturbed until we had to call him to join and mute them, lock them out. So I thank God for one thing, that in as much as he wasted our time for like 5 minutes when they had hacked into our room and they were disturbing, we called the host to come and lock them out, which happened. And then Kenneth continued and finished the lesson he was presenting. It's always so encouraging and so miraculous that these people like the speakers have sent. They have not complained, and they have seen us presence within them who are of the same mind and doctrine. And ideally, I can see them getting hold of the truth. And when we have good speakers who can help to teach from different regions, it has encouraged them to know that there is a God working among us who gives them speakers to tell the real word they need for this time. So it's my kind of prayer that you too, who can save some time, then you can contact with the lesson, and then we send him a link so that he can help us in this big job. Because these people, it is now about coming to 3 years when they completely separated with the General SDA General Conference Organization in Nairobi, in Kenya, in East Africa. So they are now working on their own independently. They now need to be helped so that they stand on their own. So far, good by His grace. And those who come to speak, I believe the Lord leads them to speak, to plant the word among many families who are within Nairobi and all elsewhere who come in. We've had speakers from Rwanda and Tanzania, Nigeria, but majorly we have to look at who is speaking to them. For one reason, we want them established in the truth. Pray for them, pray for us. May the good Lord bless you. We are moving on very well, and I believe in a good direction. Thank you so much for your support. May the Lord continue blessing you to support us. Happy Sabbath. Thank you.
Amen. Happy Sabbath to you too, dear brother. We'll be keeping all things in prayers. And what days of the week are you holding the meeting?
Oh, this is Wednesday, like we hold here, Wednesday evening. This is how we propose, and then Friday evening, our local time. For you who are in on the other side of the world, it's a preparation day, Friday and Wednesday evening, our local time. In near times, I was saying that it is for you, Brother Bob, who is in Oregon, Pacific time is between 10 a.m. in the morning to 11 a.m. Then those who are in central timing, that is Ohio, New York, and that region is between midday, 1 p.m. to 2 p.m. We are always there for an hour, those 2 days. Wednesday evening, Friday evening, our local time. For us, it will be 8 p.m. to 9 as we go to sleep. Actually, we use the Vesper gathering to welcome the Sabbath for many of them who are online, and probably who may have not got a chance to welcome the Sabbath, so that we remind them today is Sabbath, that is Friday. Then when is a midweek reading? Actually, what I did was to copy what we do and let there be writing. That is the timing.
Thank you, dear brother. We'll definitely be keeping these in prayer, and praise God that there's a lot of speakers from different countries that are in the present truth and sharing it with others. That is fantastic. Pray that God will multiply that, and may a lot of hearts be touched to follow the truth in Christ Jesus. Are there any other thoughts or comments, testimonies, songs, anything else you'd like to share, dear ones?
Amen, bro. That's great. We'll be keeping that in prayer, Brother Joel. How exciting. Thank you for sharing that information. And that powerful story from Michelle, very touching. Probably equivalent with the squirrels that you got over there. we just wanted to let you know that the memorial went well, on Sunday after Sabbath, and, got to give away, put booklets and tracts on the seats in front of everyone. Lucy and I were 10 minutes before it started. It wasn't planned that way, but my sister changed the, eulogy, and I had to look at that carefully, and I thought, she's deleted a couple of things I put there. So I had to look at that twice. So I thought, after prayer, I'll leave what she wants there, slightly change it, because it was, sometimes if you're the one speaking, you go, is that quite accurate? So just slightly change that. And then I ended up editing what I had there as well, but they didn't say anything. My sisters did say, did you print out what Jen sent you? And I said, no, I think I'm going to leave some of the things you've removed. And, but your stuff is still in there. It's inserted and that. And then, and so she didn't get a surprise when we were there. So that's probably why we're running late. I think we did want more time than 10 minutes before it started, but it was good. Everyone was watching. Lucy kindly put it on the seats along with her friend, put it on the seats for us in front of everyone, and, got to share various things in the tribute. I did, mention, the plan of redemption briefly. You know, that sin and death, although Mum's, of course, at peace now, but sin and death are enemies, and that Christ has conquered it, and gave them a bit of information on that, gave a couple of quotes. And I remember after the presentation that after the official, you know, closing of it, I remember one lady saying, oh, well, everyone believes what they want to believe. And I thought, yeah, you say it so well, but have you got the evidence for those beliefs? That's the question. I just overheard that. I would have entered the subject if invited. But I met an SDA there. I didn't know if they were SDAs, but Kathy Barnard, she said to me, I got a tip off from another friend of the family. She said, this lady, you know, Kathy, yeah, I remember. She's asking, what position are you in the church? And I said, you might want to go talk to her. So I went over there eventually and got talking, and she did. She did ask the question. I said, well, her daughter said, oh, James is a Seventh-day Adventist. And the reason she said that is because I mentioned Ellen G. White, that one of the books I've been reading to Mum, written by the most translated female author of nonfiction and of both sexes in America. And she obviously clicked onto that, and I said, no, I'm not. And here's why. And I started proceeding, and her mum was paying particular attention. And she, I'd given her a bit of information. She knows how to contact me, but that was really interesting. One of the things that came up, you know, she said, oh, I'm happy with my wine. And of course I couldn't resist. I said, it wasn't harmful, but I said, oh, is it unfermented wine? It looks nice and red. Oh, she said, it's red. And you know, it became apparent that she's not, what do you call it? She said she's a Seventh-day Adventist since 1991, but she doesn't really attend church much. Just now and again. And, I told her at home church, online, offline, at home and other people's places. I was talking like that, and I said that, you know, oh, I'm fermented wine, right, Kathy? Oh, she knew straight away. Oh, why am I drinking? I gave up my beer. But she's onto wine. As I explained to them, we have to replace bad habits with good ones. And, you know, it's amazing talking to her. She's working on the Sabbath, every second Sabbath. And I said to her solemnly, Kathy, you know, I just already shared with her briefly a little bit of my history. I said, Kathy, if you don't continue it, give it up immediately. Because if you let you just one area in your life, you'll give up on other things as well, and you won't think much of it. And she slightly, she was pausing. She didn't stop me while I was telling her. I hope she takes it to heart. I'm not, of course, keeping her in prayer because I think she's misguided. And one to give more stuff to her. One of the ladies, I was the last one to leave the venue, and the lady said, did it go all well considering the circumstances, you know, funeral? And I said, yeah. And I said, would you like a free book? I brought free books, you see. I brought the box at the front where I was speaking. And so she's the only one I got to offer it. But I didn't mention it to someone else. And I got to talk to a number of people. It was so good. They were very supportive. And I hope a number of them end up reading that booklet if they haven't already, or the tract, because it is full of truth and it is comforting. Yeah, so thank you so much for keeping it all in prayer. And just another thing, or two things. Keep in prayer with me the issue trying to edit websites. I can't even get connected to the internet for some reason. I've mentioned this to the graphic designer. It's like the devil saying, well, James, you had the help of this graphic designer. I don't even want him to pass it on to you. He's not going to do it anymore, but you're not going to learn either. So I can't connect to the internet. I'm obviously on the internet, but I can't do it through the issue with that. And the other thing is I have seriously thought about getting a second job to supplement, you know, bills and that, and cost of living. And I don't know what to do. There's a possible job not far from here, physical. And then I was thinking about, you know, obviously I'd like to work from home. That would be really convenient, part-time. And I don't know what to do. I can't get any help from government agencies or people with contracts because they won't let you because you're not receiving money for free. So you're not allowed to get the help to get any skills. We live in a strange world, but that's how it works because that reflects on the government of the time. So I don't know if I should be seeking that help for a better, you know, job. I don't know what God wants, but I'm very encouraged by Sister Lynn putting that quote, God knows a thousand ways we know nothing of, nothing of. Wow. And we've all got imaginations. So I don't know what to do. I mean, you never know. Maybe I meet the guy and just get to know him, and maybe the Lord will reveal something there, whether I should go for this different job, a fencing job part-time, if he respects the Sabbath and that, which, by the way, I got to mention to him because he asked about, oh, why don't you ring tomorrow or can you come today? I said, oh, my sister's leaving. My mum's just died and she doesn't live here, so I do need to see her. And then, oh, just make it tomorrow. Then, oh, I can't do that. I'm a Sabbath observer, the fourth commandment of the Ten Commandments, Friday sunset for Saturday sunset, which I would have mentioned had I got the opportunity earlier. So, and he just said, well, just ring me whenever you want. And he's kind about it, but I don't know if I should be following up. I think one of the things that I'm faced with is you almost get tended to think, is this doubt looking for a job? But it's not. I don't think it's wise to be bankrupt and having to borrow money. I don't want to do that. So it's just putting it out there, not stay, and but at the same time, then I can't be out as much as I normally be, of course. It'd be like the, you know, part-time bus driving. So thanks for keeping me in prayer. I know you already were. just thought to mention those things. Was there anything you wanted to mention, Luce?
I've covered it all.
You're very quick. I've covered it all. I haven't even mentioned you. Lucy was with us, of course, on Sunday. Yeah, she got to meet a few of the family members. Yeah. Thank you, brethren and sisters.
We'll definitely be keeping all of those issues in prayers, dear brother. And may God open doors and close doors and lead you to the best possible job for the situation there. And also work upon hearts. Did you ever think that you'd meet a Seventh-day Adventist there at your mom's funeral?
Well, funny enough, I knew about Kathy before, because I think my mum mentioned it. Like, she's an SDA, but it never came across that she was an SDA when I knew her, because it's like it's a secret, you know? Like, shh, don't say anything. See, I don't know. She never said it to me, but maybe she did, and it just, as a young person, but she never struck me as that, but I was really glad she shared. I told her twice. I said, I'm really glad you shared that. In other words, I would have had no idea that you were. And her daughter, apparently, she's gone to a number of churches, but she's back in the Sevi fold and, really want to change that. She's actually good friends with my, sister. So I hope that'll be a connection to somehow just talk about it now and again with Jen. Because I'm really concerned for her because, well, she said, oh yeah, James is an SDA. That's obviously I'm interested in sharing the Spirit of Prophecy books, but that she'd be more interested in realizing why is he not come again and, look into it further. She's got the flyer. I think she's got in her hand, but not specifically on the SDA apostasy and that, but, I hope they want to keep up dialogue. That would be even better. That would be greater. A longtime friend, Peter Melinda from Kalgoorlie, came 600 Ks just for mum. And I thought, wow. And of course my auntie did that as well because she lives in the same place. It's called the Gold Fields because there's a lot of gold there apparently. Kalgoorlie, I used to live there growing up. And they came all the way, yeah. And I just remember saying, or thinking that, I just was sharing with him one story after another about different world events and linking them. And it was, I think they were just letting me talk most of the time. But now and again, they shared a bit that's on their heart. It does remind me of something. I was really glad they came and I was hoping that they would see the importance of the Sabbath. So I did bring that up again. It's so easy when you've got a lot of stories you have with other people. It's so easy to talk with other people, indirectly witnessing to them at the same time. And so they start to realize, just like with Kathy, I said, Kathy, I've met SDAs. And, you know, since I haven't been an SDA for like 17 years, I said, I meet them and there are those that they work on Sabbath and they're learning a lot of good money. Like I said, very high, and they don't want to give it up because obviously they want the money. And I said, Kathy, and one, I'll never forget one guy said, it's okay, I get to witness to them. And I said, Kathy, what do you think I was thinking? Yeah, I'll be able to teach them how to break the Sabbath. And she knew straight away. She had a big smile. I said, well, what else can you be teaching them? You know the truth, but you can't be bothered. You can't follow it. Wait, what are you going to be like when real disasters come? You're not earning as much money or you get threatened you can't have a job. You know, it's just so, so obvious. And yet, It's almost like the truth is not the truth, or at least for now. Later on, I'll become a convert soon. But just now, just let it go. Give me a bit of wine. I think that's what wine of Babylon or literal wine as well, along with it, and stupefy the senses, etc., etc. I mentioned to Lucy, and I didn't mean this negatively, but I opened the memorial with prayer. And I said, and whosoever will, as you've taught us, Jesus, as your son has taught us to pray in Jesus' name, whosoever will, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And just about no one says amen. And I appreciate their honesty because they probably didn't agree with a word you said. But, yeah, except you. I said probably some did, but there was total silence. So that was respect and that. You know, they're listening carefully and that. Of course, maybe they didn't hear a word you said. But whatever happened, it did go well. And I thank God because he is helping us. And I'd love to help my family, especially Johnny, because can't communicate with him. Don't even have his phone number now. Just found out yesterday he's changed his number again on purpose. I don't know. But, you know, he's the one that's suicidal and is speaking of it as such as well. But I passed it on to those who can get in contact with him, and hopefully he will react. Thank you.
we'll definitely hold the other issues in prayer as well. You know, you talk about the signs of the times. The beginning of the week, or maybe it was a couple weeks ago, we heard that the writers, union are going on strike because, they're not getting enough pay equal to the profits that the programs and the movies and so on that industry is making. And then we learned that the Actors Guild is joining the strike of the writers. And so now there's two unions that are joined together. And then we got news that some of the workers for hotels, one in particular there in Hollywood, is joining with the writer and the actor strike. And then we got word that UPS is going to be, their drivers and their workers are going to be voting on going on strike for higher pay here at the end of this month or next month, I forget which. So we're seeing a lot of unions beginning to take advantage of the fact that other unions are going on strike and they're deciding to go on strike so that everyone gets higher wages. And what came to mind was Ellen White's quote where she talks about the unions being the cause of the time of trouble that affects the entire world. So it was just one strike in the beginning and then another strike joined in and then another striker union joined in, and even the Teamsters that control trucking, they were even talking about the strike, and some of the Teamsters were in support of one of the unions striking. So here we're seeing the unions all of a sudden beginning to band together as one so that everyone gets a piece of the pie, if you will. And if the Teamsters go on strike that controls the trucking industry, that's not just California-wide, that's nationwide and including in Canada and other places. And that means that there's only going to be about 3 day supply of food in the supermarkets if there's no more trucking coming in. And pretty soon the warehouses are going to be depleted. And so if you're out in the country, you have a much better chance of surviving without being able to get anything than you will be in the cities. So yeah, it will indeed cripple the U.S. So I just find it interesting to see how it is possible that the unions can bring about a time of trouble that Ellen White mentions is connected with the scriptures. And it's quite eye-opening.
I wanted to share something. Our daughter, when she was at our house, she harvested our potatoes. And I wanted to show you the picture. Is that okay? Okay. Those are all of the potatoes that we grew in our pot, in our little black grill boxes. There's red potatoes, and I think they're like the golden potatoes, or maybe they're just all red potatoes. But just wanted to share that with you guys.
Thank you for sharing. Yeah, and that's like a 3-gallon container. So that many potatoes out of a 3-gallon container. So the more 3-gallon containers, the more, yeah, Irish potatoes, the more harvest you'd be able to get. Yeah, red potatoes are great. I like them.
It's a 5-gallon.
Thank you, dear. So praise God for the small harvest. I've seen other harvests from other individuals that that are in bushels. But praise God for a harvest even when we're not there. Are there any other thoughts, comments, testimonies that you'd like to bring forth, dear ones, before we have our closing prayer? Amen. Thank you, dear Jesus, for small and large mercies. Amen. You know, we've sort of been somewhat spoiled in having 3 meals a day if we want, or 2 big meals a day. And so the idea is you need to eat until your belly feels full in order for you to gain the nutrition you need for the day's activities. But when you think about it, if Moses and Elijah can go 40 days on 1 meal, then God is able to take however much you eat or how little you eat and allow you to gain the nutrition from that that will sustain your life. So out of 1 meal, they went 40 days. So if all you have is small potatoes with God's blessing, those small potatoes can enable you to survive quite a while. So it's not how you feel or how much you think you need. It's God's blessing upon it. It's been a wonderful meeting, dear ones. Thank you so much for your fellowship, for your participation, your thoughts and comments, and your prayers as well. And who would like to have closing prayer?
Thank you, dear Jesus, for the Sabbath day and for meeting with us and for your Spirit, which blesses all of us, the Holy Spirit. Be with us, those who have the day ahead of them to celebrate, and those of us on the other side of the world looking for rest. Thank you for sharing, all of you, your stories and your love and your prayers. And thank you to the Godhead for showing us how to love. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, dearest sister. Dear ones, have a wonderful night's sleep tonight. Looking forward to fellowshipping with you tomorrow morning. Those on the other side of the world, have a wonderful remaining Sabbath day and a blessed new week soon to be here. Looking forward to fellowshipping with you once again. Until then, dear ones, keep looking up.
Filling in for Brother Dick. Keep looking up. My God is still the same today. Keep looking up. He will not fail thee, come what may. Keep looking up. The darkest cloud will roll away. So do not doubt, but keep on looking up.